add some.
Thank you.
We now call to order the 107th session of the Southern Baptist Convention, meeting in Jubilee Session in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And I present to you our director of music for the convention, Leroy Till. He once served as minister of music in the First Baptist Church, Houston, Texas. He is now serving in a little mission church up in the northern part of the state. They call it the First Baptist Church, Dallas. They have a mere 13,000 members. He will direct our music during this convention, and he will come now and perhaps would like to present some of his co-workers and then will lead us in a wonderful gospel song.
Thank you, Dr. White, and what a privilege is mine to be here leading the music at our Southern Baptist Convention. I am looking forward to hearing you sing this evening and at each session during our convention. May I introduce to you our organist, Mr. Lou Zeiler, who is the organist of the First Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. Then at the piano we will have this week, Mr. Max Lyle, who is with the Church Music Department of the Southern Baptist Convention in Nashville, Tennessee. We're grateful to these men who sang for us and for this wonderful symphonic band from the Carson Newman College in Jefferson City, Tennessee. Mr. Wesley L. McCoy is their director. They will be playing for us at each of the evening sessions, and I know you'll want to be here early to hear them. The men's chorus will be introduced to you at a later time. Right now, would you take your songbooks and turn to number 28 as we begin our convention singing the convention theme song, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done." Both of the stanzas listed in your book, number 28. And wouldn't you like to stand as we sing?
Sin I cried, there to my heart was a blood of pride. Glory to his name. Glory to his precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name,
oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy.
Wonderful singing. Thank you. You may be seated. Now at this time, I'm happy to present to you one who's going to come and bring a special message and song. She is a member of the Richland Hills Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. She is a faithful member of the choir there. In 1961, she appeared in this convention hall representing Texas in the Miss America pageant. Tonight, she stands in this very same convention hall representing her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She comes now to bring us a personal testimony in word and in song. May I present to you Miss Linda Loftus.
To serve on it was a thrill for me to have been here in 1961, to have represented Texas and the people that I love the most. But truly, I would only like to say that how much greater a thrill it is for me to be here tonight to represent my Lord to you, my Lord's people. Thank you.
And all the people said, Amen. We will listen reverently now as the scripture is read by Hubert G. Kiefer of Michigan, and then we shall bow humbly as we are led in prayer by Andrew Hall of Arkansas.
Reading the first 12 verses, the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ.
Let us pray together. We are grateful to thee, our Father, for this historic occasion that permits us to worship thee with all of the heritage and the freedom that we can rejoice in at this moment. Here in this setting, which is famous around the world for the producing of Miss Americas, for the making of nominees that lead to the presidency, and for many other world-renowned events, we pray that thou wouldst help Southern Baptists to make this, these days, a holy place. We pray for divine wisdom and guidance in the lives of those who lead us. And we would pray that thou wouldst help us to have hearts filled with the Spirit of God, even as we remember that there are those who have come to this convention with sorrowing hearts because of the tidings, ill tidings, of death or other tragedy in their lives. We pray that thou wouldst let this convention speak a message that our world needs to hear. May we speak it in the wisdom and the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, our Father, that the boardwalk of Atlantic City can become symbolic of the way mentioned in the book of Acts. For we ask these things in the name of Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We are to hear now from Dr. Roy Gresham, the Executive Secretary of Maryland Baptist Convention, who is going to come and tell us how glad the folks in this area are that we came to visit with them in Yankee Land. And then when he has done this, old Norman Shands from Zura, he is going to come, and on behalf of all of us, he's going to say how glad we uns are that we came. So we will hear from these two brethren.
Mr. President, messengers of the Southern Baptist Convention, on behalf of the Baptist Convention of Maryland, I wish to extend to all of you a most cordial welcome. You have already learned, as you have traveled from all parts of the country, that this is a choice section of God's great vineyard. You're guests of Southern Baptist in the state of Maryland and the great Northeast. Our constituency extends from Virginia and the District of Columbia lines in the south to the Canadian border in the north, from the Atlantic Ocean in the east to the mountains of mid-Pennsylvania and New York to the west. And from this vast territory, 237 churches, 240 missions, 14 associations, 68,000 Southern Baptists greet you. Within our territory lives some 48 million people, more than one-fourth of the population of the United States. Some of our state conventions can boast that the ratio of Baptists in their convention is 1-3. In our area, we can lay claim to only 1-675. In some areas, such as metropolitan New York, our number is 1-5,300. Southern Baptist, through the Home Mission Board, working in connection with the Baptist Convention of Maryland, are making an investment of mission funds in this strategic area. Because Baptists have a historic witness to the fact that the church is a fellowship and is not a sectional or national thing, we covet your increasing support. We need large financial resources immediately, and we need the most capable workers we can get. Many of us believe that the world's greatest mission field is in the Northeast. Surely one of the most significant things Southern Baptists are doing in this hour is the work undertaken in this area. Into this field we have moved not as invaders but as allies with all who seek to promote the cause of Jesus Christ. Many established churches of other states could find here a worthy mission enterprise. You're guests this week of an area the history of which is not surpassed by any other part of our country. It might come as a surprise to some of you that Maryland was one of the 8 state conventions that sent representatives to Augusta, Georgia in 1845 to organize the Southern Baptist Convention. The trophies of our area include the Declaration of Independence, the First Baptist Church in America, the Philadelphia Association, the first organized association of Baptist churches in America, the Triennial Convention, the American Baptist Publication Society, the First Baptist Sunday School in the United States, and the First Baptist School of Religious Education. We take pride in our heritage from such personalities as Roger Williams, Isaac Backus, John Leland, Adoniram and Ann Judson, Luther Rice, Annie Armstrong, Joshua Levering, Richard Fuller, and many others. Indeed, this is holy ground. We welcome you to our midst and ask that you note the opportunity and need for an enlarged Baptist witness in this region, and that you join us in prayer and generous concern that together we may make Christ Lord in the northeastern area of our nation. As fresh winds stir smoldering fire into flame, so God's Spirit swept through Baptist churches in North America 150 years ago to stir Baptist people to a world-encircling mission. It is the humble and yet sincere prayer of the Baptist of our state convention that this same Holy Spirit will stir our hearts afresh and anew, and that we shall be empowered once again to carry out the mission that God has given to Southern Baptists. As we come, let it be in thanksgiving for all that God has done and is doing for us. Let us come in prayer that His Holy Spirit will guide us and His will be revealed to us as we consider His work. Let us come in repentance, seeking God's forgiveness for the failures of this year and the past, and praying for strength to do better in the work ahead. Let us come in joy with gratitude for the privilege of working in His kingdom. Let us come in humility, considering each before the other, giving the glory for all that has been done. Let us come in expectancy, ready for the rich blessing that He will bestow. Let us come in faith, claiming His promises, and ready to advance as He leads. Let us come in dedication, withholding not one thing, but giving our all to Him, that He may use us to do His will. If we come in this spirit, this should be a convention session long to be remembered. Again, I say, welcome, Southern Baptist, to the Baptist Convention of Maryland, to Atlantic City, and to the great Northeast.
Thank you, Dr. Gresham, for that warm word of welcome. And now, Dr. Shands, come and speak a word of response for all of us who have come from across the nation and around the world.
Dr. White, Mr. Gresham, fellow messengers and honored guests, as a matter of courtesy, each messenger to this convention would wish to say thank you for the gracious welcome which he has received. As impractical as so heroic a response might appear, I think nevertheless we shall have a try at it. Each messenger who wishes to say thank you in a practical way may prepare to give a Chautauqua salute by taking your handkerchief and holding it by one corner and waving it three times. This may seem an old-fashioned practice to you, but if you're ready now, let us salute together. That is truly an impressive sight. It is fitting that Southern Baptists should meet in Atlantic City in 1964. Even more important than the proximity of the World's Fair is the fact that no city has greater experience in providing the facilities essential to the success of a great convention. If we fail, however, to use the facilities that some consider to be necessary, let our local hosts and hostesses look on this as simply one of the more creative ways that we live up to our reputation of being a peculiar people. There are historic and spiritual reasons for gathering in Atlantic City. Here in the area that provided for us Adoniram and Ann Judson and Luther Rice, it is easier to look to the rock whence we were hewn and to the hole of the pit whence we are digged. While they happily committed themselves to the insights and spiritual convictions of Baptists, they committed Baptists of America to an effort to share Christ with the entire world. The sharing of their vision by their fellow Baptists led to the establishment of colleges, seminaries, institutions of mercy, not to speak of local churches, which have become sources of light and fountainheads of liberty for the world. On the 150th anniversary of the founding of the first nationwide organization of Baptists on this continent, we gather in the spirit of gratitude and of rededication. In the spirit of rededication, we shall seek to face the challenges of our day with the same courage, faith, compassion, and creative imagination which our fathers demonstrated. As they emphasized the primacy of evangelism, so shall we. As they crossed geographical boundaries to evangelize the nations, so we shall strive to cross cultural and racial boundaries to teach the ethical obligations of redeemed men. In the spirit of Roger Williams, we give thanks for and pray for all men who raise the banner of religious liberty in whatever tradition they stand or in whatever council they sit. in the spirit of George W. Truett and Lee R. Scarborough, we reassert our willingness to sit down around the open Bible with any and all who seek in its revealed truth the foundation for Christian unity, trusting the Holy Spirit who inspired its utterances to bring light and wisdom from its treasure to make the mind of Christ clear to us. We are especially grateful for the attention being given in the Christian world to the scriptural teaching of baptism. And we pray for the Spirit among ourselves, which will encourage our best trained minds and our trusted leaders to bear witness to our own convictions in such discussions of faith and practice. In the beginning of this convention, we are mindful of the opportunity which we shall have before leaving this city to give a demonstration of the growing spirit of unity among Baptists on this continent. The very existence of several Baptist conventions gives witness to our conviction that there is room within the spirit of unity for diversity of methods, techniques, and procedures. Our prayer is, however, that our experience of fellowship here in the celebration of our common origins and heritage, and in the rededication to our common task as Christians, may serve to magnify him who is head of the church and Lord of all, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And so, in his name, Brother Gresham, and for his sake, we thank you for your kind and gracious welcome to this convention.
Thank you, Dr. Shands, for that word of response on behalf of all of us. Not all of our messengers are here yet. They are still pouring into this city from different parts of the nation. But many of you are here. We're grateful for your presence. We hope that you have registered. We would like for you to register just as soon as possible. At this time, we're going to call on our secretary, Joe Burton, and ask if he will bring us a word concerning registration up to this time.
Brother President and messengers to the convention, we have enrolled at the moment of convening 11,726 messengers from cooperating churches. Brother President, I move that these now constitute the 107th annual session of the Southern Baptist Convention, and that other duly accredited messengers from churches in cooperation with our convention who may arrive late be seated to join us in these deliberations.
You have heard this motion. Is there a second? Motion and second that these who have already enrolled and those who shall come, duly authorized messengers from the churches, shall constitute this 107th session of our Southern Baptist Convention. If you approve, you would indicate by saying aye. If there is any opposition, you'll vote likewise. And it is so ordered. The President would like to take just a few moments at this time to present those members of his immediate family who are here on the platform and some of the officers of our convention also. I'm going to ask that Mrs. White and our son and daughter-in-law will come up here for just a moment, just now. And here is one of the finest witnesses and soul winners who loves the Lord and who loves people and is beloved and has been a wonderful help to her preacher husband. And I'll tell you, she's had to put up with a lot during this past year. I said facetiously the other day, whenever she wanted to talk to me this year, she had to talk to me long distance. And our son, Stanley, pastor of the First Baptist Church, Weatherford, Texas, our daughter-in-law, Kathy, who is just another daughter in our family. And now if I had time, I would talk with you about our daughter-in-law and three grandsons. But we do not have an hour available, so we'll pass that by. I'm sorry that our daughter and our son-in-law cannot be here. He is a captain in the Air Force. They are currently stationed in Tucson, Arizona. But their hearts are with us, and they are praying for us and with us, I know. Thank you. And then out here, thank you. Out here among the messengers, I have a preacher brother and his wife and daughter. He is pastor in Bassett, Virginia. I will ask them if they'll stand for just a moment. All right, thank you so much. And I ask the chairman of our Committee on Order of Business to come now and to present the order of business with any suggestions or changes which he may have to bring to us. Dr. C.W. Farrar, South Carolina.
Mr. President, as the messengers registered, they were given a copy of the proposed order of business. Before I make the motion that we adopt this as our order, I call your attention to a special item for the first time included in our proposed order of business on Thursday afternoon, a question and answer period. It is the hope of our committee that this will be a period of serious exchange between the messengers and the executive heads of the various agencies of our convention. We do not want you to pull any punches in the questions that you'd like to have answered, but we would like to have the questions prior to Thursday noon. As you leave the auditorium tonight, we're going to ask if you will, on a piece of paper, to write simply the question or the item that you'd like to hear discussed and hand it to one of the guides who will be at the various entrances, or the exits, I should say, as you leave. It is most important that the Committee on Order of Business have these questions prior to Thursday noon, preferably tonight. Mr. President, I move that the proposed order of business be adopted as the order and the agenda of the convention with such changes as will be necessary from time to time.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second? It is seconded. If you approve, you will indicate it by saying aye. Is there any opposition? And this will be our order of business with those necessary changes that shall be made as we proceed from one session to another. Let me call attention to just one matter in connection with the theme of the convention. The general theme, as you are well aware, is for liberty and light. And the Committee on Order of Business felt that with world conditions as confused and turbulent as they are, it would be very fine if we could center our thought upon the place and power of God's Word. Therefore, as you come to each session, you will find that there is a subtitle, and you want to read that in the light of the general theme. For example, this evening, for liberty and light, we will preach God's Word. Tomorrow morning, for liberty and light, we will study God's Word. Tomorrow afternoon, for liberty and light, we will obey God's Word. Now let the chair take just a moment to present some of the other officers of our convention. I would like to present Dr. Paul S. James of New York and his lovely wife. I'll tell you, he's a great preacher, but if you really want to hear something, you invite her to come around to your church and talk to your church, particularly during the week of prayer on home missions, and you'll ask her to come back again. And we're so happy to have them with us on the platform this evening. Dr. Ms. Paul James. And it is my happy privilege to present the second vice president of our convention, and I want her to come up here for just a moment. This is Mrs. R.L. Mathis. Now, without any disparagement toward anyone who ever held this office before, I want to ask you, don't you think she is the sweetest and most attractive second vice president we ever had? And she's going to be presiding over some of the sessions. And you're going to treat her so courteously and wonderfully. God bless you, Mrs. Mathis, and we're happy to have you. Our two secretaries, Dr. James W. Merritt, Dr. Joe W. Burton, and the treasurer of our convention, Dr. Porter Ruth back here, and the others who will be participating in the convention, is wonderful to serve with each one of them. Now we come at this moment to an item that is not on the agenda, but each year we do this. We take a picture of everybody, so comb your hair and get your hat set just at the right angle and practice a little bit on your smile and get all lined up here for this. Now, after we have had this picture taken and Brother Burton is going to give us some instruction on this, after we've had the taking of the picture, we will have one or two announcements to make.
Dr. White, may I make the announcement first, if you please? You received in your chair an announcement of the premier showing of Magnificent Heritage. This is a one-hour, full-color film tying in with our convention theme, and it will be shown for the first time to an audience tonight at the close of the session in this room. Now the instructions for the picture. The photographer tells me that you look much better if you stand. So if you will please stand. Not only do you look better, but there seem to be more of you. Those on the platform will be seated, if you please. This is a sitting up and down exercise for those on the platform. Those on the platform, be seated. But you in the audience, stand. And the cue is this. I'm going to repair to my desk, and when I am at my desk, the picture, the lens will be opened on my left, on your right, to this side, and you, of course, will see the camera move, and be still until it has passed you. Everyone still, everyone ready. If you want to remove your glasses, do so now, and everyone is ready for the picture.
That reminded me of the atmosphere that we have at our church right before the Sunday morning service at 10:50. Everything is quiet and still, nobody visiting. I'm sure it's that way in your church. I think you will afford me the opportunity and privilege of just introducing to you at this time two of my favorite ladies who have meant so much to me in my Christian experience. And in this way, I would like to express my tribute to them for the Christian testimony and witness they have been to my own life. My mother is here. Would you stand, Mother, from Louisiana? And my wife, Hannah, seated close to her. Thank you. And God bless you. Would you join with us, please, in singing number 10, hymn number 10, the first and the last stanzas, the only two listed there. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Hymn number 10, and wouldn't you like to remain seated while we sing? I thought you would, but let's stand anyway. Would you? Number 10. Thank you. You may be seated.
My former pastor, whom I love and appreciate, Dr. K.O.N. White, has asked me to sing tonight before he comes to bring the message, a hymn which is a favorite of his and of mine. It expresses what I feel in my own heart, and I know what you as a Christian feel too. But this I know.
Oh. With a holy hush on our souls, we come now to hear the President's address. And I think you would want to welcome Dr. White as he comes by rising to receive him.